This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Noelani Alexander, founder and Wallingford Farm Stand marketeer, and Becky Warner, farm manager for City Grown Seattle, a distributed urban vegetable farm that intends to feed Seattle from Seattle and turns underutilized land into productive food-growing space. Noelani and Becky are here today to tell us about the work of City Grown Seattle to help provide local, sustainably grown produce and bring people closer to the source of their food. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
What is City Grown Seattle?
Well, you actually said it very well in your intro. City Grown is a multi-plot urban farm growing vegetables on mostly privately owned land within the city of Seattle. We have a few backyards and a community center space and a city-owned space. We sell to the community via our farm stands and a small CSA.
Why was City Grown Seattle started and what is your history?
I started City Grown Seattle with Scott Bamer. We came from another organization that was trying to do a very similar project, and as we were forming that project, we realized exactly what we wanted to do, which was City Grown. The reasons we were passionate about it was that we found that it really builds community. It started as a business, so not necessarily a community project solely, but that the community piece really comes, and it's just really exciting to us to think we could feed our neighbors. There's also something to be said for the transparency of growing food in the city, in our neighborhoods, where our neighbors can see the food and understand how it's grown and be closer to a system that's gotten pretty far away from our tables. And then there's the sustainability segment, which is really important, is this idea that we could produce our food in a way that's not detrimental to the environment, that we can grow intensively with low inputs and low miles to get our food to the table and to our neighbors. That's all really appealing and why we're passionate about it.
What led to your personal interest in urban farming? Noelani, do you want to start?
Sure. It started really simple. I live in the city and I wanted to farm. I have a landscaping business and that keeps me urban for the foreseeable future. The farming lifestyle is really fulfilling and I really wanted that. The struggle is always how to afford the farming lifestyle and how to deal with the current cost of living anywhere, really. So I'm sticking with the landscaping business. This is a great way to be able to do both.
And how about for you, Becky?
Yeah, for me, I got interested in agriculture several years ago. I actually have a software development background and got a little tired of the office lifestyle. I did a couple of farming apprenticeships on rural farms in the area and fell in love with the types of community and the work of growing food. I was ready to start kind of experimenting with my own thing about 4 years ago and found Noe and Scott and what they were doing in the city. It seemed like a really exciting sort of model and a way to try my hand at agriculture without the risks of buying land and buying a tractor and being able to do those farming activities here in the city for a while until I may buy my own land someday eventually.
Would you say more about how City Grown Seattle is set up and organized?
Sure. We have sort of evolved and changed each year as the business has grown. We're set up as an LLC, so we're a for-profit business. We have had different numbers of co-owners of the business over time. At this point, we also have a few folks that work as independent contractors, but all the farming is done by ourselves, even though it's done in multiple people's yards around the city. We trade vegetables for the use of the space, for homeowner space.
How is City Grown Seattle different from other urban agriculture efforts?
Our model mimics the small rural vegetable farms that you might find in Carnation or around. What is different about our farm is more just how we use the land, how we have a relationship with our landowners. Otherwise, it's a lot more like that than a lot of the other urban farms around here, like nonprofits and community groups, which are doing really awesome projects as well. We have an emphasis on growing food and selling our food rather than education or feeding the hungry, or we don't run on community participation as much, or at least that's the idea, is that we run on farmer participation. Our primary focus is in making City Grown a sustainable business model, which is also relatively unique. There are other farms around the country that are doing this, and actually also in Canada, and we are doing very similar things to them. So this model is not completely unique to us. And our community still receives the benefits, even though we are in sort of a for-profit structure.
Where do you grow your food in the city?
We started mainly in backyards in Wallingford and Ballard. And over time, we have been able to find some larger spaces. And this year, currently, we're growing in three different spaces in Crown Hill. So we have a community center space there, and we have two backyards. We also have one plot over in the Maple Leaf neighborhood. And we have a big-ish plot at Mara Farm in South Park, which is part of a pilot project with the city, where they've made some city-owned land available for commercial production. So kind of all over the city at this point, everything within the city limits, some privately owned spaces, and the community center and the city-owned space.
What types of food do you grow?
Well, we grow vegetables. We try to grow a wide variety of things so that our customers can have a large choice of things, like you would find at any vegetable vendor at the farmer's market. We do have to limit a few certain types of crops that take up a lot of space or that take a really long time to grow. So we definitely focus on things that are quick to produce and delicious and look appealing, but as many vegetables as we possibly can.
What are your growing practices?
We grow everything using organic growing practices. We grow pretty intensively. We really want to maximize what we can grow in the square footage we have available to us. We use minimal mechanization, more or less, because there is not a lot of mechanization options for the small grower, but we do use some.
We're not certified organic, although it'd be interesting to try and pursue that. We use organic practices that I think would be certifiable as far as no chemical inputs. You know, we use Cedar Grove compost, we use Waltz organic fertilizer, as many sort of local organic products as we can, and other than that, we practice crop rotation and integrated pest management techniques to keep things as clean as possible.
How much land are you currently cultivating in terms of square feet or square whatever?
Right, yep. Yeah, this year we're up to 13,000 square feet, which is about a third of an acre. And of course, that's distributed over five different plots, which, you know, when I say that our total land area is a third of an acre, most farmers find that very small. But it is quite a large garden, you know, it crosses the border between large garden and small farm. And because it's on different plots of land, that just adds a little bit to the complication. But we are able to use all that space to the fullest potential that we can.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Noah Lonnie Alexander and Becky Warner of City Grown Seattle, a distributed urban vegetable farm that intends to feed Seattle from Seattle and turns underutilized land into productive food growing space. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Who are the farmers for City Grown Seattle?
This has also varied a little bit over time. As Noe said, she started the business with Scott Bamer, and I came on the following year. This year, we also have Ariel Antosca and Ashley Wilson and Ariana Taylor Stanley as farmers. So there's five of us this year. We, like I said, just kind of take each season as it comes, and as we've been expanding the business, have been able to work with more people to grow the food.
Where do you sell your food?
We have two farm stands that we've been working on. We have the Wallingford farm stand on the corner of 42nd and Eastern, 41st and Eastern, between there. And that's where Becky currently lives and where I lived until just recently. That farm stand is really thriving and has been going for years. We also have a Crown Hill farm stand we started last year, which is on 92nd and 14th by the community center where we grow a lot of our food. And now we're going to be starting a Georgetown farm stand starting this Sunday, the 14th of June. And we're excited to see how that goes because we've been growing our food at Mara Farm, which is down in the South Park neighborhood. We've been wanting to find an outlet, you know, our ideas that we want to feed our neighbors. So that's exciting to see how that will go. And what we'd like to also grow into is selling some of our produce to chefs. Currently, we sell to Little Uncle, which is on Capitol Hill, which has been really fun. And we look forward to potentially branching out and selling to a few more smaller restaurants that are local.
Yeah, we try to sell in the neighborhoods where we grow the food. So our Crown Hill farm stand is at the plot at the community center. So folks can see the garden and buy the garden produce right there in the same place. We run a small CSA, which is community supported agriculture. And so we have a few folks that want to be regular shoppers with us buy in at the beginning of the season, and then they actually get to come and pick out their own produce over the course of the season. So that's another way that we really integrate with our neighbors and keep food grown in the neighborhood, sold to folks in the neighborhood. But like Noe said, it's exciting to be able to branch out and sell in a few more places around the city.
Are most of your customers actually in the neighborhood? How local do they turn out to be?
Very, very much so. Yeah, I have gotten to know a lot of my neighbors just by virtue of setting up a vegetable market in the front yard every Saturday. Most folks walk to our farm stand, not everybody. I was excited our first year when we got a CSA member who lived in Maple Leaf or Lake City or something. I thought that was really exciting that they would be willing to come down to Wallingford. So most of it is very local, folks that can see the gardens that develop an interest in buying from us.
It's true. Pretty much everybody across the street from us and next door on either side. It's really great. That was our goal. They're coming to our farm stand every week. They make a big deal out of making it. It's pretty exciting.
I was surprised at how many of our neighbors are vegetarians and just really love fresh, delicious vegetables, really get into it.
How do farm stands compare to farmers markets as places to sell food, in your experience?
Sure. We sold at the Wallingford Farmers Market for a couple of seasons, and I love farmers markets. We have found the flexibility of setting up our own farm stand really appealing so that we can set it up right next to our plot. We reduce our food miles even further, although, you know, the farmers market is just within a couple miles. We can do our farm stand on the same block, and we can do it on sort of our own time frame. It does limit your potential number of shoppers, but you also have the place to yourself, so you don't compete with other vegetable vendors. They've both been great. We've just really enjoyed experimenting with setting up our own space.
It was difficult for us, too, because we are growing on a limited amount of land. To compete with these farms that have 10, 20 acres and beautiful produce, and, you know, we love those people. And we definitely still had a lot of customers at our Wallingford Farmers Market booth. But it is nice to really, like, know for sure we're selling to our neighbors, and it's a really personal experience that way, too.
Would you say more about your CSA?
Sure. Our CSA model has been a little bit different from what you generally see from most farms. Most farms offer a pre-selected box, so it's kind of fun because you get a variety, but a lot of folks find it a little bit intimidating and may get stuff that they wouldn't have chosen otherwise. So we offer what we call a free choice model, and this is offered by some other farms that we know about, where the CSA member still pays in at the beginning of the season, but then they get to choose their own items from what we have for sale that week. So they can come to the farm stand, or they can also order online and pick out the items that they choose instead of having us select a pre-organized share for them. So we think it really works well for our customers, and it works well for us so that we don't have to pack a bunch of boxes. And it works well for customers so that they can have control over what they eat.
And it really benefits us a lot in that we are usually at the lowest financial point in the early spring. And that's exactly when all of our expenses are due. So we want to purchase our amendments. We want to purchase our compost. We need to buy our seeds. We're not getting paid. And that's when the CSA money comes in. And then over the course of the summer, then we're able to feed those customers.
Having folks that feel that sort of membership in the farm too and are sort of guaranteed repeat business, and we usually become friends because we see them every week. It's been a great experience to get to know the folks that have been willing to support us in that way.
How much food do you sell per year?
Well, luckily it's been increasing each year as we've gotten a little bit better with our systems. Last year, my estimate is at least 4,000 pounds were sold off of our about quarter acre garden space, and that doesn't include what we traded with our land partners and things like that. So a decent amount, you know, like I said, we're trying to use space efficiently and grow things that people like to buy.
What are the requirements if someone wants to offer their backyards or land for you to grow food?
Well, at this point, we are receiving more offers than we can take. We are currently only able to take fairly large spaces. We started with sort of any backyard that we could get, and at this point we're able to be a little bit more choosy. So, you know, a really appealing size for us is a couple thousand square feet, which is larger than most people have to spare. The other thing is that we like to keep our plots somewhat close together, although with South Park and Crown Hill, now we're a little bit more spread out. Other than that, it should receive a decent amount of sun. Otherwise, you can't grow much of a garden.
We also need easy access. So if there's a lot of stairs down to the plot, that can be really prohibitive for us. We just met with some people that are offering us about a quarter acre on South Beacon Hill, too. So that then makes it very appealing to make that extra commute to use that land.
So for the most part, do people approach you so you don't need to go out looking?
It's interesting because in the beginning, we have kind of kept our eyes open for bigger spaces and tried to contact the business or the homeowner, and that's actually never worked. Cold calling hasn't worked, but putting ourselves out there as doing what we're doing and allowing people to come to us has really worked. And there seems to be a lot of interest, people that don't want to mow their yard or don't want to maintain a garden of their own, but want to contribute to the local food movement and receive some produce. You know, we trade produce in exchange for the use of space. So there has been interest. It's been great.
What have been the key challenges for City Grown Seattle?
In the past, it was land. We did struggle initially getting the land that we have now that was efficient for us to use. At this point, I think our new challenge is a livable wage. We want our farmers to have a livable wage here in Seattle, which is maybe a tall order in this specific time, you know, making it so that we as our farmers can really prioritize the work we're doing with City Grown and not really depend on other employment to cover our costs.
Right. At this point, the five of us all have other part-time or full-time jobs on top of City Grown. So it's more than a labor of love. Certainly, we wouldn't do it if it wasn't bringing in some income. But the key challenge is definitely figuring out a way to be able to do it with more of our time or potentially with somebody's full time and have that be a reasonable way to make a living.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Noelani Alexander and Becky Warner of City Grown Seattle, a distributed urban vegetable farm that intends to feed Seattle from Seattle and turns underutilized land into productive food-growing space. How farmer-friendly is the city of Seattle for an operation such as your own?
It's been good. We have benefited from a couple of city policies, one which makes it legal to grow food for sale on privately owned land and also sell from the plots. And we also applied for and are currently participating in a city pilot called the Seattle Farms Project, where they found a few city-owned parcels that would be appropriate for commercial production and have helped set up urban farmers on those parcels. I think, you know, at times we have wished that it would move faster and go farther and be reaching to new heights to make Seattle the urban farming capital of the world and, you know, a rooftop garden on top of City Hall, but we definitely are moving in a positive direction. We've only experienced positive support. Now we just need to keep working and take it farther.
How does Seattle compare to other cities in terms of being urban farmer friendly?
I don't necessarily know a whole lot. I've definitely seen magazine articles and things about other cities stepping up their game, and I've definitely heard about bigger urban farms in other cities like New York City, Detroit, Madison, Wisconsin, and we know of some, like Noe mentioned, in Canada.
Yeah, there are definitely some policies, like San Francisco, I think, has a policy now where if a developer is going to develop a building, they get a break on their property taxes for some period of time if they allow urban farmers to come use the land. So that's pretty cool. And yeah. I think there's things like that. I don't know if San Francisco overall has better policies. I think we're all playing with certain policies that are helping us and certain policies that are hurting us.
That would be the next thing to push for is tax breaks for people that let businesses like ours use their space to grow food.
In your view, how viable is urban agriculture as a way of earning a living? You've alluded a bit to this already, but say more.
There are some people in Canada that are actually supporting themselves and actually doing fairly well doing this work, a very similar business model to what we're doing. So we're very optimistic, and we have yet to quite prove it.
agriculture in general is a hard way to make a living. You know, I don't think that's a mystery. And urban agriculture is probably no different. You know, we're dealing with a city cost of living, so that makes it a little harder. But at the end of the day, there's only so much that people are going to pay for a bunch of carrots or a bag of salad. So that's what makes it our challenge to figure out how to grow as much food as we can on a limited space and using our time efficiently and selling to people who really want to buy it. And like Noe said, we're definitely looking at some other models of people who are doing it really successfully and trying to use better systems every year. So it's a work in progress, but, you know, we think it has potential.
And we've seen every year, we've seen our wages go up, or like wages in parentheses.
What are the plans of City Grown Seattle for the future?
When I founded City Grown, I had the overall goal of creating a financially sustainable business model, feeding our neighbors through growing food. And we are getting closer to that every year, like we were just saying. And there are a few other farms doing that. So that is the long-term vision, would be to be able to do that. We've looked at different models. I spent this winter thinking about what if we became a nonprofit. And I've decided, or I think many of us have decided, that that may not be what we want to do. But we might get a little bit creative about how we are organized, just to see if we can somehow better serve ourselves in that way. But for the most part, I think our plan is really to feed our neighbors and survive doing it.
Yeah, the goals kind of change every year as we spend more time doing this, as new people come on board. In a way, we're sort of doing it because we love growing food and we want to spend time doing it. And each year we sort of reevaluate how we want to sell, how we want to grow. And as we move towards the future, I think it would be maybe wise to have a longer term plan. But so far it's been season by season and adapting to what we feel like doing at the time.
What do you see as the value of urban agriculture overall?
There are several great benefits to the community. One is growing food where people can see it, getting folks more familiar with what vegetables look like as they grow. You know, people coming to the garden and asking questions is fantastic. Another is using land well in places that people are growing lawns that they don't necessarily want, growing vegetables in those spaces instead. Another benefit is reducing food miles and the shipping of food all over the country and just growing it really close to home.
I think the community engagement that we have experienced is the number one reason I stay involved with this project. People really come together around food. The city wants to know who is growing their food. People want to be a part of their food system, but they also want to maintain their busy lives. So the way that we can help with that is it's right outside their back door. And that makes it work. And I think that's a really deep value. And then the sustainability that Becky alluded to, you know, we are replenishing the soils rather than depleting them, which a lot of our bigger agricultural projects in the U.S. are doing. And we're growing in a way that probably gives back to the earth in a way that a lot of these projects aren't. And that feels really good at the end of the day.
How does City Grown Seattle fit in with other urban agricultural efforts? How do you see yourselves as part of the big picture?
Yeah, it's exciting that there's more and more folks coming into this space. And we haven't necessarily had a whole lot of direct collaboration yet. We do farm at Mara Farm, where there's a bunch of really great other efforts being undertaken. Solid Grounds Lettuce Link program has a big giving garden down there. So they donate to the food bank and they do a lot of local garden education. So it's been wonderful to be part of that space and to see other projects coming up around town. We would love to begin working on more direct collaboration.
That's definitely the case. It's really nice to be at Mara and be close to other farmers, and otherwise it's been difficult for us to be able to really seek together. But every winter, there's usually a few conversations a number of us can have together just to touch base and see where we're all at.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, this could be our future, having a lot of farms right here in our city. It's definitely been in our past. It's definitely a part of other cultures. Growing food in available spaces like this is important, and remembering how important it is to have access to healthy food, access to green spaces, and an understanding of how our food is produced helps us to be physically and mentally healthier. It helps combat the environmental damage being done by large industrial agriculture on a small scale, and it provides a good quality of living for the people farming and the people exposed to it.
Yeah, I would just thank Seattleites for supporting businesses like ours and encourage everyone to be a positive force in the food system, whether that means growing a little bit of your own garden or shopping a little bit more at farmers markets or buying into CSA. There's a thriving local food system that we are really happy to be a small part of with City Grown, that we appreciate folks supporting and enjoying the fruits of our labors.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
You were just listening to Noelani Alexander and Becky Warner of City Grown Seattle. For more information, check on the web at citygrownseattle.com. Again, that's citygrownseattle.com. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM. And KEXP.org.